So Jesus declares that all authority, not some, not most, all authority has been given to him. Now that should encourage you, being a follower of Jesus. Jesus possesses the power to act, to choose, to decide for himself. Therefore, we should submit ourselves to him by faith, to his authority.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Christians express their faith in a variety of ways. However, there are times when our faith is discouraged by our circumstances and our faith suffers. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is built and encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part one of an authoritative faith.
We're going to continue in part three of our series, and it's a series on faith. If you missed any of the parts of the series, let me just kind of briefly kind of cover those parts. Part one, we spoke on the subject of a saving faith. And the Bible says that we are saved by grace through what? Through faith. And we are not saved by grace through belief. Belief is important. It's an important component of faith, but it's not faith, it's belief. Biblical faith is not defined as conceptual faith. That means believing on a set of facts, calling it true, and calling it faith. That's not faith. And that's what a lot of people do in Christianity. That's a lot of what people do that are in the world that call themselves Christians. When it comes to a saving faith, something changes us. We're born again. Something occurs in our inner being. It's not that we have to, it's we want to. A conceptual faith, or what we call a conceptual faith or belief, is believing in a set of facts, calling it true, and then calling it faith. And the results of that is simply this. It's faith without works. It's faith without action. It's faith without evidence. It's faith without spiritual fruit. And this should be classified as belief. Not faith. I mean, a saving faith is an enduring faith, a faith that most pleases God. Secondly, we talked about last week an obedient faith, and an obedient faith is a faith that takes God at His word. What He says and what He puts, in, what He says, we put into action obediently. Jesus said, "If we love Him, we'll do what? We'll obey what? His commands. We'll obey His commands." And then make no mistake. We don't obey His commands to get grace. That's not how it works. We obey His commands because we've received grace. We obey His commands because we can obey His commands. We should have a desire that we want to obey Jesus because something happened inside us. God saved us. God changed us. So we've experienced new birth. We want to obey God's word. So this morning, I purposely preached this message on the tail end of last week's message, and we're going to speak to you about an authoritative faith. And when I speak of an authoritative faith, I don't want you to get confused by that title, because I'm not speaking of our authority that we have in faith. That's not how I'm going to approach this. Instead, I'm referring to the authority Jesus has and our faith in Him and our response to His authority. Are you following me? That word authoritative means to proceed from an official source requiring compliance or obedience. To proceed from an official source requiring compliance or obedience. And an authoritative faith understands the source of authority and responds appropriately to that authority. Let's look at Matthew 28:18. You don't have to turn there because we're going to be there just briefly. We're going to be actually in Luke chapter 7 today. But just briefly, look at Matthew 28:18. It's on the screen here. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying what? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority has been given to who? To Him, to me, to Jesus. So Jesus declares that all authority, not some, not most, all authority has been given to Him. Now that should encourage you, being a follower of Jesus. Just knowing that alone should be encouraging. All authority has been given to Him. Jesus possesses the power to act, to choose, to decide for Himself. Therefore, we should submit ourselves to Him by faith, to His authority. Jesus has the power to make every knee bow. Do you know that? He has the power to make every knee bow, to make every tongue confess that he is Lord. That will happen one day. However, his desire in this age, in this age of the church, the age of grace, he would rather us do this, that we repent of our sins, come to him by faith, submit ourselves to him. It's not a forceful thing, but that we want to, that we give our lives to him. Are you following me? That we voluntarily submit ourselves to his authority as Lord by faith. That's his desire. An authoritative faith is a faith that recognizes and operates under the lordship of Jesus Christ. An authoritative faith is a faith that recognizes and operates under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus is establishing his kingdom. He's coming to establish his kingdom. And he's coming to establish a physical kingdom, but where he wants to begin his kingdom and start his kingdom is here in our hearts, in our lives. He wants to rule and he wants to reign. And then he not only wants to rule and reign in our lives, he wants to rule and reign through our lives. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 7. We're going to be in verses 1 through 10. And this is the encounter Jesus has. I'm going to say this very carefully, and I mean it this way, that Jesus has this encounter with the faith of a centurion, with the faith of a centurion. And the reason why I say that is because, as you'll see in the story, there's no clear connection physically between these two. It's the faith of the centurion that we're going to speak of here. And I think this is going to be a great example of an authoritative faith. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "Now when he concluded all these his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die." Verse 3. "So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant." Verse 4. "And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving." Verse 5. "For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue." Verse 6. "Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, 'Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof.'" Verse 7, "Therefore, I did not think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed." Verse number 8, "For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." Verse 9, "When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, 'I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel.'" Verse 10, And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Would you join me one more time in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, God, that you would encourage our faith. Lord, in this room, there's just a feeling, a sense, Lord, as we prayed for needs, that I could feel that we need to have our faith encouraged this morning. As a congregation, as the word of God is preached, Lord, we understand that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We pray the Holy Spirit would challenge us as Christians, as believers, to be both hearers and doers of your word. God, exercising a faith that is alive, that is active, that is filled with life and obedience towards you. Father, we pray that we would have a better understanding of your word, that we would have a better understanding of your nature, the authority that you have, God, through the preaching of your word. Father, we pray, and I pray that we would recognize, all of us would recognize the authority that you have. All authority has been given to you. Lord, we would respond to that appropriately by faith. We ask this morning, Lord, for you to again to meet the needs that are represented here today. And Lord, especially for the need of salvation, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we pray that would change, that they would come to know and serve him. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. All authority has been given to Jesus. All authority has been given to Jesus. And his followers, we are to submit ourselves to him through that authority of faith, a faith that is submissive to the will of God. All authority has been given to Jesus, and as his followers, we are to submit ourselves to that authority. And again, we should have this desire that we want to. I'm not saying that we're successful all the time. I'm just saying that still, when you make a mistake, when you mess up, there should have been this desire that still exists in you where you want to submit yourself to God's will. You understand that you fell short. You don't want to do it again, and you want to do the right thing. That's a good indication, amen? But when we don't have that indication, that should be a warning sign to every one of us. And that's where we should examine our hearts and really examine ourselves before the Lord. Not because we have to, but because we want to. Jesus was about to enter that town of Capernaum. And Capernaum was a place that he often frequented. We can kind of really call it his headquarters in Galilee. It was central to his mission. And the reason why it was central, because Peter, James, John, and Andrew were from Capernaum. That's where they lived. They were fishermen there. Capernaum is a place that you find often in Scripture. Jesus often visited it. And upon entering the town, Jesus he's encountering this delegation, basically. And it's a delegation that is sent to him by the Roman centurion, whose servant has become ill. And I think this is an important reminder, a side note. As we read the story, remember this. Jesus declared that his mission was to reach who? To reach the lost sheep of Israel. That was his mission. That was his focus. That was his calling. His desire were to reach Jews. But yet this man is clearly a Gentile. And so that's an important side note, because here's the fact of the matter. Jesus came to seek and to search for that which is lost, and that's what we're called to do, but he was predominantly called to reach the Jews. Now the church then is called to reach all people. But here's the thing that's interesting. If he encounters someone, Jew or Gentile along the way, who'll express faith in him, he'll minister to those needs. Are you following me? But that is an important side note. And that's important to this story. Jesus was looking to receive a Jewish audience, but here this man shows up and he sends a delegation. And the reason why he sends that delegation is important too, and that's going to play into this story. Something I think we overlook when we're reading about the story. But anytime Jesus encounters faith, he's going to react to that faith. And when we read further into the story, Jesus says the centurion has great faith. How many of you want to have great faith? Well, you should want to have great faith. You say, why should I want to have great faith? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible. Look at that. Impossible to please him. Don't you want to please God? So we should want great faith, correct? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Jesus is looking for a people who have something more than a conception of him. He's looking for a people who will follow him, seek him, serve him by faith. Seek him, serve him, and trust him in confidence. Jesus is not looking for hearers. He's looking for hearers and doers. Are you following me this morning? So what is faith? We defined this last week. Faith is action based upon a belief sustained by confidence. And you can say, well, where do we find that in Scripture? And here's the deal. If we're going to take one Scripture to define faith, we're going to really minimize what faith is. Because we automatically think of Hebrews 11:1 as a definition for faith. It is, but it's not the only definition, and it's clearly not the only example of faith. The Bible is full of faith, correct? It's full of the example of faith. So should we take, again, the counsel of God's entire word to define such an important subject? Amen? So faith, we see, has action. It has belief, and it has confidence.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The Word of God calls believers to walk by faith and not by sight. It's my hope that your faith has been encouraged by this message. If you're not attending a house of worship and you are looking for a home church, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, or adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, May God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.